The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Wherever you are on our lovely planet, I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
Welcome to Being Here.
That's right. Today's program is called Life Changes Made Easy, Part 2. And this deals with andropause, menopause.
Yep.
And it also deals with other things that men, as they age, will be encountering, and whether they like it or not. And we have as our guest today Dr. Jed Kamenetsky, and Ariel's going to tell you a little bit about Dr. Kamenetsky.
Well, we're thrilled to have him with us. He's a clinical associate professor urologist with University Urology Associates. It's one of the largest urological practices in New York City metropolitan area, and he's the medical director of Manhattan Medical Research. He's a highly regarded urologist. He's skilled in treating all sorts of urologic disorders and performing minimally invasive prostate surgeries. He has lots of different academic interests, including the study of both male and female sexual dysfunction, which has led him to become a national and world thought leader, and we can attest to that.
He's one of my heroes. I got in touch with Dr. Kamenetsky through my brother-in-law, who's a cardiologist on the West Coast, and I was having some urological issues, and so I asked him if he knew of anybody, and he said he'd ask around, and he checked, and lo and behold, he came up with Dr. Kamenetsky in New York City.
And we are profoundly grateful.
Profoundly grateful.
Dr. Hines, John Hines, our hat's off to you.
Yes.
So without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Jed Kamenetsky to our show.
Hi. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us and being willing to support us and supporting other people in talking about subjects that may not be too comfortable just because of the conditioning of our cultures. And there is information that you have, Dr. Kamenetsky, that is really of great importance to most men and probably women. I can only attest to my personal experience, but you've made a profound difference in my sense of well-being and
quality of life.
And quality of life, and I want to share that with people.
So well, I think when people age, Dr. Kamenetsky, it seems to be a thing where people think they're going through it alone. So as you see patients, what are some of the most typical big-ticket items that people come to see you for?
Well, the most common things that people come to see me for as they age are basically two. It's either urinary issues,
mm-hmm.
they have increasing trouble urinating, and sexual issues. So, of course, there are other diseases that I see, prostate cancer, stones, you know, a whole list of things. But really the lifestyle, I think the lifestyle changes that you're referring to and people complain of are basically those two. And there's a lot of reasons for it. It could be as far as the urination, bladder issues, usually prostate issues, as far as sexual problems. you know, I explain to men almost every day the changes that occur in male sexuality as men age. The first thing that men notice is they may not be able to have an erection again after climax that night or the next day. Or when you're younger, you could do it every, you know, 15 minutes, every hour. That's the first thing, the latency period. Men complain, erections aren't as rigid. The desire goes down. So it could be blood flow, could be testosterone. But those are the main things that I see, urinary problems and sexual changes.
Right. Well, you know, for me personally, I remember about 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, because it happened gradually and over time, that I had to urinate more frequently. And I remember being on an airplane flight one day and having to go to the bathroom every half hour or so, and it was very embarrassing. But it seemed to me that my bladder wouldn't empty fully, so I was just topping it off every time, and it only lasted
exactly
for a period.
So is that something that tends to be something that happens as men age? Can that be a common condition?
Yeah, so as a man ages, as far as the urination goes, there's basically what happens is the prostate gets bigger. So as the prostate gets bigger, it causes a blockage. So that creates a double whammy. One, there's an obstruction, there's a blockage. You need more pressure for the urine to get through, so some men, as you said, don't empty their bladder. The second part of it is to accommodate the bladder pushes harder. Now, the bladder is a muscle. So if you look inside the bladder of an older man, you see a lot of very well-defined muscle fibers. So the bladder is like a bodybuilder. It's the muscles are thick, they're working harder, and they lose flexibility, just like someone who's lifting weights. So you get that frequency and the urgency because you lose some of the distensibility or the ability of the bladder to distend and hold more urine.
Yes. Well, that was what I was experiencing. I'll tell you, you've given me a new lease on life. Because you did I believe it was a green laser surgery.
Yeah, we did what's called, it's a green light laser.
Green light laser. And yep. It's like being a different human being. It's like I go to the bathroom. I wrote an article called "The Joy of Peeing" as a result of this surgery. I find that I can within 10 or 15 seconds just urinate. It used to take me a minute or two, or maybe more, and my bladder is completely empty. And I you know, it's taken a huge pressure off.
So if somebody doesn't have, and I know we have several callers online, so I will move to them next, Dr. Kamenetsky, but
sure.
If somebody doesn't have access to laser surgery, what are other things first of all, they should certainly find a urologist, but are there other things that are possibilities to support a person?
Yeah. So there's medication, but before I even get to medication, it's very important that there's lifestyle. People understand there are lifestyle changes that they can make to help accommodate these changes that occur with aging. So for one, caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you how many people I see who come to me and say, "Doctor, I'm peeing all the time," or "I'm waking up at night to urinate," and they're drinking 5 cups of coffee, or they're having, you know, 3 Diet Cokes. So caffeine is a diuretic, so it's going to make you urinate more. It also causes the bladder to become more irritable and contractile. So first thing, cut out or cut down on caffeine. Second thing is getting up at night is a real nuisance. So what do people dislike the most? It's the urgency, that feeling that they may not be able to get to the bathroom, and getting up at night. So cutting down on caffeine will help the urgency, and cutting down on fluids in the evening will help the nocturia or getting up at night. So that's the first thing we always tell people is the lifestyle changes. Then there's medicines that either relax the prostate or shrink the prostate or relax the bladder. And very often we have people on three different medicines just for their urinary tract.
Great. That's great info. Let's take our first caller. Joe, are you with us?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Hi, Dr. Kamenetsky. Hi, Ariel and Shai. It's great to hear you speaking. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question about my, that I think might be connected to my prostate, or enlarged prostate, is also a hardness of the bladder, that when I go to urinate, I sort of have to massage the bladder a bit to soften it and allow a more complete, elimination. And I'm not sure of this, but it's what it feels like to me. I wonder if you could talk a little more about the bladder having the same symptoms as the prostate or something along those lines.
Yeah, so I think what you're probably doing by rubbing the bladder, I think it's probably twofold, is you're probably stimulating the bladder to contract. And also, by rubbing your lower abdomen, you're sort of distracting your brain and distracting the nerves. And what in order to urinate, two things have to happen. There has to be a synergy between the bladder and the sphincter. So the bladder contracts, and the sphincter has to relax. So I think by rubbing your abdomen, you're sort of distracting whatever neural or inhibition from your brain that's not allowing your sphincter to relax. So I think that probably would explain it. So there's different two components. There's the bladder is the pump, and then there's the outflow. So the prostate, the sphincter, the urethra are the outflow. It's really like plumbing when it comes down to it.
Okay. Yeah. When I massage the bladder, it kind of stimulates that urge to pee, and then things sort of let go from there. And then
you're stimulating your bladder, and you're distracting your sphincter. So sometimes people will say, people, for example, who have shy bladders, they come to me, they say they can't urinate in public. What do they do? When they're standing at the urinal, they count the tiles, they do something to distract their brain to allow the nerves and the muscles to relax. So I think you're doing that intuitively by rubbing your lower abdomen.
I see. Okay. And, I've been considering, I know I need to come back to you because I did see you a while back. Now I've been considering having the same procedure that Shia had, if you think that's appropriate. But then I also wondered, would anything need to happen for my bladder to have a good success?
Well, everybody's different. And I think, any surgery, and particularly this type of surgery, requires two components for it to be as successful as the result that we had with Shia. One is it has to be well done. So you need to have a surgeon who's competent, has done a lot of these. The other thing is you have to do it for the right reasons. So if you do an operation, a wonderful operation, and it was not for the right reason, the patient's not going to do better. So we have to, anyone, before a green light laser, we do a cystoscope, we look inside, we do some functional testing to measure the flow and things like that to make sure. So I like to go in when I'm doing a procedure to know as best as I can that this patient's going to have a good result if I do a good job. So the answer is you should come on in and we'll reevaluate you.
Okay. I will do it.
That's great.
Sweet. Thank you. Thanks for calling, Joe.
Sure. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Before we take our next caller, I'd just like to stop for a moment and talk a bit about listening. Because I know a lot of our listeners are women, And a lot of our listeners are not yet aging. Or you may think that this doesn't apply to you personally. But that doesn't mean that listening to the information on the show is not extremely valuable for you. Also, simply the act of listening will pull you into the moment. From there, you make brilliant choices in your life.
If you listen non-judgmentally, but if you listen and think about what's being said to see whether you agree or disagree with it, you will not be in the current moment of your life. You'll be thinking about what's being said, which takes you out. What we've discovered is if people get into the current moment, their lives transform just out of the mere act of listening. Aside from that, you learn a lot more if you really listen to what somebody says rather than fit it into what you already know.
And personally for me, I'm super enjoying listening to Dr. Kamenetsky make the whole topic of urination and erection sound so simple and normal, which of course it is, but you have the...
Well, you have a culture, you know, our approach is anthropological and not psychological, but you have a cultural predisposition to prudishness in our culture that doesn't even allow the talking about this subject in, what would you call that? Normal social circles?
Mm-hmm. Polite society.
Polite society. Ah, there you go. Thank you. I'd love to keep talking about this, but we have to go to a break right now.
And then we'll come back, and we have other callers waiting. We'll be back with Dr. Jed Kamenetsky, and we'll give you how to reach him online when we come back. So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Kane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Be the change. The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
We'll be back next week in New York City for Say Yes to Your Life on March 2nd. I know it's been a while, so come join us. Also in March, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, we are doing
fun as the access way to enlightenment in New York City, and you are all welcome.
You can find out more on our website, TransformationMadeEasy.com. And if you want to reach Dr. Kamenetsky, the easiest way is to find him through his website, UniversityUrology.com. That's UniversityUrology.com.
And now we're back.
Yes. So, we have...
another caller.
Let's take him.
Mac, are you there?
Hi, this is Mac. How are you, Ariel and Shia and Dr. Kamenetsky?
We are great.
Great, me too. But you know what? I'm so happy this thing is, the title of the program is what it is, because nobody ever talks about this. And I'm aging, I'm 69 years old, but this has been a slow evolving mystery. Little things happen along the way and I can't explain them. And I'm just really grateful for this opportunity to be on the show. My question to Dr. Kamenetsky is has to do with more of the sexual function. I'm 69. Okay. I've noticed that over the last few years, libido and sexual performance has slowed down a bit. It starts gradually. It doesn't happen overnight. But it's a quality of life, well-being, loss of manhood kind of thing that goes on in my mind. And I understand intellectually that it happens, but I'm not sure what happens, and I've talked to Dr. Kamenetsky about some of what can be done about it, and that's being implemented. But I also had a question about how the treatment for that relates to some heart disease. I have two stents in my heart, and I have had occasion where I had AFib, which is a irregular beat of my heart. And I'm wondering, Doctor, if you could just chat about that a little bit for me and for others who may have the same condition.
Sure. Well, yeah, there were a lot of great questions in there. So first, I want to start on the one of the last points you made about the heart, because as important as sex is, and it's basically, you know, what my career is based on, helping people have sex. No one died of erectile dysfunction that I know of, but people do die of heart attacks. So the penile blood vessels, so the blood vessels that carry the blood to the penis that need to dilate to get an erection, are a fraction of the coronary blood vessels. So people who have erectile dysfunction can be a leading indicator of other vascular diseases. So when somebody has erectile dysfunction that's not explained or we're not sure why, I always encourage that person to see a cardiologist, to get a stress echo. And several times a year, we find people who had, you know, near complete blockages of the main vessels in their heart. And had they not presented for erectile dysfunction, they might not be alive now. So there is a very important link. So erectile dysfunction is a vascular disease. So there's cardiovascular disease, peripheral vascular disease, cerebrovascular disease. This is penovascular disease. So not enough blood flow getting to the penis. Now, there's a lot of reasons. Could be smoking. So smoking is a correctable cause of erectile dysfunction. Just with aging, because these blood vessels are so narrow, they tend to get occluded. Thank goodness, 20 years ago, there was basically nothing, very little we could do other than penile implants. Now we have these wonderful drugs. Viagra's been available for 15 years, and it's really changed the sexuality in people as they get older, because we have a good, effective treatment. The other cause of erectile dysfunction that's very common is low testosterone. So as men get older, the testosterone decreases. So low testosterone can result in, you mentioned, diminished libido. So whenever somebody says their libido's diminished, The bell that goes off in my head is low testosterone. So that's important to check the testosterone. Other signs and again, talking about comorbidities or other problems that may be associated with these things, low testosterone is associated with type 2 diabetes. It's associated with increased metabolic syndrome, which is a problem with glucose control. It's associated with depression. It's associated with osteoporosis. So again, people coming in for their sexual problems may unearth other, maybe more serious physical conditions. So
that's great.
So if a person has low testosterone, doctor, what are the things they can do to increase that?
Well, again, like we talked in the urination segment, there's lifestyle changes. So lose weight, eat healthy, exercise. That will improve your testosterone levels. Fat causes breakdown of testosterone and converts it to estrogen. So those are important things. But it's a catch-22, because if somebody has low testosterone, they don't have the motivation to work out, and they're not going to see the response that they want to see in muscle mass and decreased body fat. So we can give them testosterone. So testosterone can be given as a gel that's rubbed on the arm, injections, or pellets, long-acting testosterone implants that we put it under the skin. In younger men, I tend not to use testosterone as much, and I try to use something that will stimulate the body's own production of testosterone. So we use a drug called Clomid, which people, it's a female fertility drug, but it works in men by increasing stimulates their pituitary glands, or HCG, which is an injectable. So there's a lot of different ways, both lifestyle and pharmacologic, that we can improve testosterone.
I've heard a lot of different things about bioidentical hormones. Do you have any thoughts or experience or ideas on bioidentical testosterone?
Yeah, to me, it's that's a little bit of a marketing ploy. I know a lot of the anti-aging docs talk about bioidentical hormones. I tend to use drugs that are not compounded. You know, there have been a lot of problems with compounding pharmacies, very public cases. I like to use FDA-approved products unless there's a specific reason why that FDA-approved product is not applicable to my patient. I know it's being made properly and in the right environment. So I don't think bioidentical hormones really, particularly in the case of men, offer any advantage.
Well, before I came to you, I was using a bioidentical cream, and it was very hit or miss. And since working with you, I've gotten those long-lasting implants, and it's wonderful because I never have to think about it. It's just my energy levels are much more robust.
Yeah, so the pellets you're referring to are called Testopel, and we put them in every 4 months. So, you know, it's funny. People think of testosterone as a sex drug, but it's much more than that. So many times patients have come in and said to me, they come for their pellets, and they say, oh, yeah, my wife told me it's time to come in for your pellets. So being a man, and, you know, I said, well, you know, in the bedroom, things aren't working out as well. And he said, no, 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 she doesn't care about that. I don't take out the garbage, and I don't clean the garage when my testosterone is low.
That's great.
Mac, did you have any other questions for Dr. Kamenetsky?
Thanks. That's been great. I learned a lot today. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call. Bye-bye.
You know, Before we take the next
caller,
I have a question. Can you explain the PSA and when a man should have those tested for the first time? Because I think I've come across many folks that we consult with who've never even had themselves checked for prostate cancer, and they have no clue. As Mac was saying, it's a mystery when and what to do.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked that, because there's a lot of misinformation and conflicting information out there about the PSA. And there is a trend away from using the PSA as frequently. You know, I think the PSA is a test that's been a little bit misused and abused by people, by doctors, but men should have their first PSA level at the age of 50, with two caveats. Men with a family history of prostate cancer or African-American men should have it done at an earlier age, at 40. After the age of 75, current recommendations, and I agree with these, don't really need to be checked unless the patient's having some symptom that suggests that they might have prostate cancer. So the underlying controversy with PSA is that most men who have prostate cancer die with it rather than of it. And too many doctors are doing too many unnecessary surgeries or treatments on people with very low-grade prostate cancers that are not going to affect their life. And the treatment does affect the quality of their life. So, but I'm afraid that the pendulum is going to swing the other way, and we're going to start to see more patients with more advanced prostate cancer. So I think you should discuss it. People should discuss it with their doctor. Hopefully the doctor is educated and informed. But as a general rule, I'd say at the age of 50, unless there's African-American or men or a strong family history of prostate cancer, then a little younger.
And the initials PSA stand for?
Prostate-specific antigen. So prostate-specific antigen is a protein that's made in the prostate, and certain diseases or problems in the prostate cause it to go up. So it can go up with just an enlarged prostate. So all men, as they get older, do have some enlargement of the prostate. So we expect the PSA to go up a little bit. Infection or inflammation of the prostate causes the PSA to leak out of the prostate, and that can give you a high level. Even a recent ejaculation, so an ejaculation within 48 hours can cause a bump in the PSA. So any men, when they do go for their PSA check, should refrain from sexual activity or ejaculation for 48 hours prior.
That is great.
That's
information.
Good, because I've had false positives on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't know that piece of information in advance. Let's have our next caller, shall we?
Yes, please.
Reiner? Are you
Hi. There? Hello.
Hi.
Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Hamburg, Germany.
Wow.
Well, you're popular. You have a question for us?
Yeah. My first question is, we just heard that men about at the age of 50 should do their first test, but should this test be repeated, and in what time frame?
Yeah,
the PSA testing.
That's a good question. You know, we tend to see people on an annual basis. But, you know, in my practice, for example, we're not really screening. These are people who have problems. So I like to see them at least once a year. People who are on testosterone will check it twice a year. I think, you know, I think annually until the age of 75 is probably appropriate. If somebody has a fluctuation or an increase in the PSA, know, we might have them come back sooner to just get another data point on the curve to see if that's a real trend. You see, so people get nervous when the PSA goes up, but there's a lot of noise in the PSA. So there's a lot of background noise because of the things that I mentioned before, ejaculation, inflammation. So you don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction and see if one elevation of the PSA and rush into a biopsy. You want to let things settle down and repeat it in, you know, a couple months before you go ahead and recommend a biopsy. At least that's my policy here.
That's excellent.
That's a great question, Reiner, because I know in Europe you tend to have a different rhythm for seeing
medical
physicians.
The people in Europe frequently don't see a doctor unless they're direly ill. It isn't an annual checkup type of thing. I know when we have people coming with us in Costa Rica and we ask for a medical okay on their physical health.
It's always a surprise.
It usually comes as a surprise to a lot of people.
Reiner, I know you have other questions, but it's probably best if we go to a break and take you directly after. So can you come back with us then?
Yes, I will.
Excellent.
Okay.
We'll be back with Reiner and Dr. Kamenetsky in
just a few minutes. Please come on back.
And don't miss
Being Here.
This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Be visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Being Here. We're talking today with Dr. Jed Kamenetsky. He's a urologist in New York City, and he's my personal urologist, and I recommend him very highly.
couple of quick announcements. First, if you haven't got your Transformation Made Easy calendar yet, they are beautiful. You can find them on our website. And also...
TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Correct. And if you want to know what we're up to on a more regular basis, you can join our Facebook page, Transformation Made Easy. I sense a theme.
That's a theme, right?
I do. Okay, let's go back. We have Reiner here and Dr. Jed Kamenetsky, who you can also find at universityurology.com. All right, Reiner, you have another question?
We heard earlier that lifestyle changes have an influence on health, and we were talking mainly about like drinking, like caffeine and so on. I can understand, but my question is, does the things that I eat, my nutrition, have an impact on these, and how can I improve my health by my nutrition?
Yeah, that's another great question. So specifically, I think the general answer is a good, healthy diet, fruits, vegetables, a lot of antioxidants. I don't recommend a complete vegan diet, but I think minimizing animal proteins, there's a lot of data out there that is going to improve prostate function, minimize cancer risk, help blood flow, and thus sexual function. There have even been some studies where a near-vegan diet, meditation, and exercise have lowered PSAs in people with prostate cancer. So, I think there's that's something that's sort of new that, we don't, unfortunately, a lot of people may not give enough credence to in our culture, but there's definitely, people can help their health by eating healthy. So diet's really important. Specifically for the prostate, lycopene is important. Lycopene can be found in cooked tomatoes. So the Mediterranean diet, tomato sauce, tomato juice, all have been shown to be beneficial.
That's excellent. Especially since Ariel and I have been on a food regime recently that has eliminated tomatoes.
For the last couple of weeks.
But we're about to go off of that phase.
And we're craving tomatoes.
So, especially cooked ones in pasta.
So, excellent. Anything else, Reiner?
That's great. Thank you very much.
Oh, so great
thanks
of you to call in today, really.
Yes. Is there anything else you want to say, Dr. Kamenetsky, right now?
Before we take our next caller?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. You know, we've talked a little bit about testosterone, but there's been a lot of controversy recently regarding testosterone, and it's based on one or two articles that were in the medical literature saying that testosterone increases the risk of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then malpractice lawyers picked up on this and started running commercials, advertising for patients on testosterone who may have had a heart attack. And this is just, just really terrible. I won't bore you with the details of these studies, but the main one, which was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, 27 medical societies, 200 sexual and health professionals have written a letter to the journal to retract this article. It was the most glaring thing. The group, this was a retrospective study. They looked at prescription data. So it wasn't looking at the patient's charts or the patients, but it included 10% women who were in this study. So that would be like if you had a breast cancer study and it had 10% men. It doesn't make sense. It was just poorly designed studies, and I'm seeing that a lot of people are scared to take testosterone. Doctors are advising people not to take testosterone. Doctors who have never read these articles and don't know. So it's really, you know, irresponsible journalism and medical publications, and so I'll get off my soapbox.
I love that you're on your soapbox, because the truth of the matter is I'm going to be 74 in about in about a week, and the truth of the matter is that I feel young and robust, and I'm certain it has to do with the testosterone that I've been using.
You know, before we came to you and when we started investigating our flagging energy levels, Shia was sleeping a lot in the day. And so
I don't take naps anymore, except on days that we've worked very hard for a number of days, and then I'll sometimes take a half an hour nap in the middle of the day. But it used to be I needed an hour every day, at least.
So it's certainly been, you know, along with other, as you say, lifestyle changes. It has not been simply let's take testosterone and hope that handles everything and then we abuse our bodies elsewhere. It has been really part and parcel of the
whole. It's been an evolution, really.
Yes. Yes, so I love you started with that. We have another caller. Let's make sure we
get him in here. Eric, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Ariel and Shai, and hi, Doctor. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
I've been listening, and this is all really great news. But I have to tell you, I'm 53, and I've never really thought about getting older. But it's happening. And I guess my first question is, you know, I think they used to call people my age middle-aged, but I don't feel that way. And I'm friendly with the other callers that I heard on the show who also are very active individuals. What are things that people my age, you know, can do to keep the energy level up all across the board, and, you know, including sexually?
So, again, we're going to go back to those lifestyle things, diet, exercise. Exercise is so important. And diet, I mean, it's, you know, these are the most important, not smoking, moderate alcohol. You know, as you get older, you become more sensitive to things. So, you know, drinking to, you know, more moderately as you get older, you don't recover as quickly. So, you know, good, healthy lifestyle. Cutting out bread, potatoes from your diet. You know, those things cause you to gain weight. You don't burn, your metabolism slows down as you get older. So you have to make some accommodations. And, you know, if somebody has fatigue, like Shia said, he was, you know, having to take a nap during the day, well, that's a symptom of low testosterone. So low testosterone has very similar symptoms to depression. And there's a lot of I've seen so many people who have been on antidepressants for years, and then we check their testosterone, and it's so low. We give them testosterone, and, you know, lo and behold, they're not depressed anymore. So,
yeah. I have, you know, I have put on weight over the last several years, but I don't think that's age as much as I haven't been paying attention to or being rigorous with taking care of myself in that way. Years ago, I was vegetarian. It was very easy to stay thinner, and I definitely had more energy. So I appreciate you talking about reducing animal stuff. I know you said it's not completely vegetarian, but reducing it, I think that might be something. Well, it sounds like it's worth considering.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, exercising. You know, exercise You get your endorphins, you increase your body's own production of testosterone. You know, just think about it. You say you gained weight. So if you, if a person gains 10 or 15 pounds, just think if you were walking around all day carrying a 15-pound dumbbell.
Right.
You know, you would get tired. You know,
right.
It's a lot of stress on your joints, on your internal organs. So, you know, decreasing body fat, increasing lean muscle mass, particularly as you get older, is very important.
Ben, if I may interject, Eric, we know several people who are vegetarian who are a little bit older, and they don't lose weight as quickly as you did when you were younger. So whilst lowering animal products is great, you also have to consider that what Dr. Kamenetsky just said about your metabolism slowing. And it regardless of what dietary plan you take, whether it's vegan or semi-vegan or eating, he said something I think you may not have wanted to hear, like potatoes and bread, because it's inconvenient.
Yeah, he said it, I did hear it, and I didn't want to hear it. You got all of that right.
And you weren't too happy about the exercise component either.
Well, I actually have been working out, but again, not as vigorously as I used to. And I'm curious what you consider to be a good workout regime. You know, is half an hour a day good enough? And
anything more than you're doing now is good. So if you don't want to set a goal that's not attainable. You want to set goals that you can attain. So if 30 minutes a day is all that you can really, you know, put aside for that, then 30 minutes a day is great. Is an hour better than 30 minutes? Yeah, of course. But I think doing it consistently is, you know, you don't want to be, we don't want people to be, you know, the January New Year's resolution type of thing where you go gung-ho, you know, the first 2 weeks of January, but it's not sustainable. So you want to do something that's sustainable, that fits your lifestyle. So 30 minutes is good, an hour I think is better.
And that can include walking as a form of exercise, yes?
Yeah, brisk walking, absolutely. I started, you know, I work out a lot, but I just started boxing because I look forward to it. It's fun. Instead of the drudgery of, you know, being on a treadmill, you know, I don't even realize I'm working out.
Right.
So you have to find something, you have to make it fun is the point. You know, it's not just something you have to do, but it should be something you embrace and look forward to doing.
Great. That's really great.
Anything else, Eric?
No, I feel I'm for years I was in a situation where I wasn't really that sexually active, and I am now.
Well, that's an exercise,
like,
too.
Yes.
So do that 30 minutes a day.
You know what? When I get together with my partner, I'll tell them that I was advised by the doctor that we need to do that.
Right.
I think they'd be very happy to comply with your prescription.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'll be thrilled.
Right.
Uh-huh. Hey, thanks, Eric, for calling in today.
Thank you, guys.
You know, we just have a couple minutes left. Was there anything that you didn't touch on today that you think our listeners should know?
No, I just want to highlight the, you know, two points. We talked about the PSA and we talked about testosterone, some of the controversies surrounding them. And I just, you know, I don't want people to get their medical advice from the New York Times or from, you know, the Daily News, but from their doctors. And hopefully their doctors, you know, are, you know, up on what's going on and counsel them wisely, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And quite frankly, a lot of the information is not based on what's good for you, but what's good for the economics of healthcare. And, you know, that's a lot what's behind the PSA controversy. So, you know, people have to, I think, you know, own their own health, and particularly with all the changes in health care, and do what they can to make themselves healthy. We sort of focus on that exercise diet, but also to, you know, be involved in an active participant in their health care.
Our time has run out. Thank you very much, Dr. Kamenetsky, for joining us today.
And if you're in the New York area and you need a urologist, we wholeheartedly recommend him.
Unconditionally.
Dr. Jed Kamenetsky at universityurology.com. Next week's show is You Already Are Special.
So please join us for that. And if you've enjoyed the show, share it with your friends.
Yes, share it. We'll be back next week, so come on back.
And don't miss
Being Here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.